Usually looking at legal documents like government gazettes, it feels like staring at dry text in a vacuum. But then you look at the cover of South Africa's National Qualifications Framework Act 67 of 2008.
Right, the cover itself is striking.
Yeah, right next to the solemn national coat of arms, there is this stark, unavoidable image. It's a dark ribbon and a toll-free number for an AIDS helpline.
With the phrase, prevention is the cure, it
Exactly.
immediately grounds this heavy legal text in a very specific, urgent historical reality. I mean, this isn't just abstract theory.
No.
It's legislation written for a society in the middle of a massive transition and, well, a severe public health crisis.
Which makes our mission for you today so fascinating. We are doing a deep dive into how a nation fundamentally reorganizes human knowledge.
Yeah, South Africa used this exact document to standardize skills and try to regress past unfair discrimination in their education system.
Right. So to restructure a society that historically fractured its education system, you first have to reorganize how that society values learning across the board.
You need a universal measuring stick.
Okay, so let's unpack this. They created the NQF.
The National Qualifications Framework.
Right. And it organizes all learning into three distinct sub-frameworks. You have general and further education, which the Act specifies is governed by a council called UMALUSI,
Right.
and then higher education and trades and occupations. It's like a massive 10-rung national ladder for your brain.
Or, a single integrated scale of learning achievements, all three of those tracks feed right into it.
See, this is where I struggle a bit,
Yeah.
because it sounds like they're putting a hands-on trade skill and an academic university degree on the exact same philosophical scale.
They absolutely are. That single framework ensures all forms of learning are recognized.
So I was trying to visualize this. Instead of a ladder, maybe it's almost like a universal currency exchange rate for
Well,
knowledge.
that's a brilliant way to look at it.
Yeah.
The different types of learning are the currencies,
Okay.
and the NQF provides a clean way to convert and value them.
But wait, how did that actually work in practice? I mean, how do you equate a master plumber certification with a bachelor's degree in history?
Well, by changing what you measure, the Act defines what it calls level descriptors.
Level descriptors.
Yeah. Instead of just testing memorized facts, a level descriptor is a rubric that measures problem-solving ability, autonomy, critical thinking.
I get it. So a level six history student analyzing primary sources
Yes.
and a level six mechanic diagnosing a really complex, unprecedented engine failure,
Yes.
they are demonstrating the exact same level of cognitive autonomy.
Precisely. It's not about where you learned something, but what you achieved.
Wow.
And that guarantees qualifications are internationally comparable. Plus, it creates seamless mobility for the citizen to just pivot between career tracks without, starting over from scratch.
Okay, but if we're using the currency analogy, you need a central bank to make sure nobody is counterfeiting the money. Who is actually enforcing these rubrics?
So that falls to SOQ, the South African Qualifications Authority. They answer directly to the Ministers of Education and Labor.
Right.
They oversee the entire NQF, register professional bodies, and they manage this massive national learners' records database.
I have to push back here, though. Look at the context we started with.
The AIDS helpline.
Yeah, that AIDS helpline on the Gazette cover. You have a country facing urgent, on-the-ground, life-or-death crises,
Absolutely.
mandating a highly rigid 12-member board bureaucracy and a massive centralized database. I mean, it feels incredibly administrative when people are struggling just to survive.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the administration isn't a distraction from those crises.
No.
No, it's actually the foundation for overcoming them. If the goal is to build resilience and accelerate the redress of past unfair discrimination, a developing nation can't just promise equitable
You
opportunities.
have to guarantee them.
Yes, a centralized database and clear, quality-assured standards mean a citizen's hard-earned skills are credible, recognized, and legally protected.
Oh, wow. Which means it takes the subjective bias out of hiring.
That's a huge part of it.
Like if you're a self-taught professional from a marginalized background, a hiring manager can't just dismiss your skills because of where you come from.
Exactly, because your NQF level proves your capability holds the exact same legal weight as someone who went to a prestigious school.
So that centralized authority protects the true value of learning.
It dictates who gets to move forward in society.
Wow. So the 2008 Act wasn't just bureaucratic paperwork.
Not at all.
It was this profound effort to unify a historically fragmented system into 10 clear protected levels.
It really reminds us that how we categorize knowledge has immense real-world power.
It does. Which leaves us with something to think about regarding your own learning journey.
It's an interesting thought experiment.
Right. If your own self-taught skills, your niche hobbies, and your unconventional life experiences had to be officially registered on a rigid 1-10 national framework.
I wonder where they would land.
Exactly. Where would they land, and who gets to decide their true value?